This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. For all of us who live in or close to a big city, and that's most of us, here's a provocative idea. Mayors may be in the best position to offer big solutions, innovation, and new ways to deliver services. Mayors have more ways to encourage change than community organizations, than governors, or even presidents.
Whether you agree with that idea or not, it's at the heart of Mayor Michael Bloomberg's big idea. The billionaire New York mayor is offering millions of dollars in funding for new programs to solve urban problems and improve city life across America. Bloomberg Philanthropies is challenging mayors from around the country to compete for the money.
The city with the best idea, whether it's a way to solve health problems or improve education or fill potholes, will receive $5 million to develop the plan and share it with other cities. Four other cities will receive grants of $1 million each.
Boston is competing for the Bloomberg money and is asking the city's residents for their ideas. So what's yours? If you had $5 million to spend, what would be your big idea to improve urban life in Boston? One of our Facebook fans suggested rooftop agriculture. How about free bikes for everyone? Or even European-style automobile-free cityscapes?
And what do you make of a private philanthropist like Bloomberg putting his millions to work in an effort to spark urban innovation? In an era of tight public budgets, is this the future? Call us with your ideas at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And joining us now from New York is Jim Anderson. He's the director of the Government Innovation Portfolio at Bloomberg Philanthropies. And welcome to Radio Boston. Jim Anderson, good to have you.
Oh, it's so nice to be here. Thank you.
So tell us briefly about this challenge and the idea behind it.
You know, it's very simply based on the idea that, my boss, Mayor Bloomberg, absolutely believes that mayors are uniquely positioned to solve any number of the biggest challenges that we face as a country. There's a huge demand amongst mayors to understand what's happening in other jurisdictions, especially now when resources are so tight, nobody's wanting to recreate the wheel. And the Mayor's Challenge is really a first-of-its-kind effort. It's a competition for any mayor of a city of 30,000 or more to put forward a bold breakthrough idea. We're specifically looking for ideas. We want mayors to identify the challenges that are most pressing in their own communities and to come up with their best idea for solving it.
Yeah, Jim, let me just jump in. Why? I'm interested in one of the first things you said, and that is, and we mentioned it in the intro, that mayors in particular are uniquely situated to solve these ideas. Why?
Well, I think, first and foremost, they're on the ground. They're closest to the need. And every day they're, bumping up against constituents who are letting them know what issues are bothering them the most. They have to make decisions. They have to sweep the streets. They're very accountable to their local communities. And I think we believe that they are in a really unique position to galvanize resources and people and ideas across sector and to bring people together in a very real community-based way around solutions.
So give us a sense about this competition for the money. Give us a sense of the criteria you're going to be using to judge these ideas as they come in from across the country.
Yeah. And first of all, let me just say, we have gotten such a great response. It's really been exciting. 400 cities across the nation RSVP'd for the Mayor's Challenge. This is the first time we've done it. 75 or 76 of the country's largest 100 cities have applied, but we've also gotten really great representation from small town and smaller city America. So I think 55% of the cities have between 30,000 and 100,000. So really great diversity, a great footprint. We'll be looking for a couple of different things. The first is really, show us that your idea is creative and novel. We want to understand the vision behind the idea. Secondly, we're going to be looking really closely at whether this is an idea that can actually be implemented. We want to make sure it's an idea that can get off paper and actually produce real concrete value in the near term in their communities. Third, we'll be looking at, well, what kind of impact and how much impact can you create? Specifically, well, so we're not being dictating which issues mayors need to zero in on, but we do believe that most mayors will come up with ideas that are either addressing some social or economic problem, that improve the customer service experience for residents or businesses, that increase accountability to or engagement with the public, or that create efficiencies and make government more productive. So we'll be looking at just how impactful is that idea. And then our final criteria that we'll use to determine which cities move forward is replicability. And this is unique. We're actually asking the mayors to somehow demonstrate to us that other cities have the same issue that they have and would be able to implement the same solution, that it doesn't require some particular set of resources and assets that only one city has available to it, because we want to find those ideas that can spread, that can be contagious, and that can produce value in other communities as well.
All right. Well, Jim Anderson, stand by. We've got a couple of other guests we're going to bring into this conversation. We appreciate you being on the show. Listeners, we're talking about this Mayor Bloomberg's challenge to cities. If you had $5 million to spend, what would be your big idea to improve urban life in Boston? Someone who's been giving that a little bit of thought is Dana Conroy. She's from the Mayor's Office of Urban Mechanics. That's the Mayor Tom Menino's Office of Urban Mechanics. And Dana Conroy, good to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
We're gonna ask you in a moment what an urban mechanic is, but I also want to introduce Barry Bluestone. He's a professor of sociology and director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern University. And Barry Bluestone, thanks for taking time out. I understand you're on the Cape today.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it's good to have you on. It's good to have you on Radio Boston. Dana Conroy, let me come to you and ask you why Boston decided to jump into this mayor's challenge. What's the hope for Boston here?
Sure. I mean, one thing that Jim noted is that these ideas need to be creative and novel. And we all know Boston's one of the most creative and bright cities in America. And so we think we've got great potential to come up with a great idea.
And one of the ways you're doing it is you're going right to city residents, right, and asking mm-hmm. people. You're sort of crowdsourcing this idea. Tell us about that and how that works.
Yeah, the reason we've chosen to put the call out to all the citizens is because Mayor Menino himself, he's always out in the community talking with different people, hearing their ideas, trying to figure out how they want the city to be better. And so we thought, why would it be any different for this challenge? So we put it out there in the same way that he's out there every day.
And you're looking for particular ideas, and there are a few of them here. Increasing access to technology, supporting the needs of the growing senior population, expanding affordable energy solutions, and finally supporting the diversity of languages spoken in Boston. Why these topics, these priorities in particular?
Well, those are all priorities that have been tough challenges for our city, but also for cities across America, which Jim noted it needs to be something that can be replicated other places. And everyone's struggling with those things. But really, we aren't just looking for ideas in those areas. We're looking for any sort of big idea. We just thought we'd give a few prompts if people needed some suggestions.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the examples that people have submitted. But first, Barry Bluestone, let me bring you into this conversation. What do you make of this idea, Bloomberg, private philanthropy money as a sort of catalyst for urban innovation? What do you see in this?
Well, I very much applaud Mayor Bloomberg for doing this. As the mayor has said, and as Jim Anderson said on the show, we really do look at mayors as playing a critically important role today in bringing our cities back to real prosperity and real vitality. They're really the CEOs of the city, the CEOs for economic development. And therefore, giving them the opportunity to compete for this money and then to use it in creative ways, I think is very good. I think one thing we should be a little cautious about, though, is that this is great for getting out new ideas on a small scale. Mm-hmm. But once we want to take some of these ideas, and I hope a lot of great ideas will come out of it, to scale, where you can do it not just in one neighborhood, but throughout the whole city, not just one city, but hundreds of cities, it's doubtful that philanthropy is going to have the funds to do it at that scale. And that brings us back to the fiscal crisis that so many communities are facing, cities and towns. Where are they going to get the revenue, and how are we going to find the revenue so that we can take some of these ideas that will come out of this great experiment and bring them up to scale to improve neighborhoods everywhere.
So in other words, the private philanthropy money can be sort of a spark, but it's not going to be the sort of ultimate answer in how to make these urban innovations.
Exactly. Yeah. It's great for bringing out ideas. I love the way the mayor is going to be and the urban mechanics program are going to go down to the people in the city, and because I'm sure there are lots of great ideas that will come up from the citizens of our town. But once we get those ideas out and we want to expand them and really make and implement them and make them work, that's when we're going to have to figure out how we're going to raise the tax revenue and fees that we'll need at the local level and the state level to make it happen.
Jim Anderson with Bloomberg Philanthropies. Does that sound right to you, that this is sort of a starter, in a way, seed money, essentially, to get these ideas off the ground?
Yeah, you know, I think I think Mayor Bloomberg would really agree with that, and often says that, you know, one of the really terrific roles that philanthropy can play is to be, you know, provide catalytic capital, risk capital, and that's especially essential at a time when there's none of it, hanging around anybody's city hall. So we absolutely see this as in that same spirit. This is catalytic risk capital that's allowing, you know, hopefully sparking and encouraging folks to think differently and to come up with some new ideas. And I think your other guest is absolutely right. I think the question of takeout funding and scale funding over time with some of these big ideas, that's probably not the role that philanthropy can ultimately play.
Mm. Well, let's bring a mayor's voice into this conversation. Seti Warren is the mayor of Newton, Mass. He's been listening to this conversation. And Mayor Warren, great to have you on the show. Thanks.
It is terrific to be here. I joined friends on the call, particularly Barry and Dana. It's good to hear you as well.
So, Mayor Warren, you're participating in this challenge. What do you hope that it brings to the city of Newton? I mean, talk about sort of the big challenge that you're facing there and what you would like to see this kind of money address.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I too applaud Mayor Bloomberg for taking this on. As a mayor, he gets it. He understands we are closest to our citizens. Budgets are tight. And in order to be innovative sometimes, you do need that seed money to yield additional savings and more investment. And Newton, as well as many other cities and municipalities across the country, we face a real challenge on energy costs, and we face a real challenge on reducing the carbon footprint in a real way. I've always believed that cities and towns can take the lead on reducing the carbon footprint, cleaning up the environment, as well as finding savings in energy reduction and renewable energy. In Newton, we've had a lot of innovation even before my tenure, and now in my tenure, a tremendous amount of innovation in bringing down those costs. We have a terrific program called Energy Smart Newton, where we're aiming to reduce energy costs by 20% in the commercial sector, the municipal sector, as well as residential sector. And we've gotten a huge amount of community participation in this. And this competition is terrific because we want to use, if we're able to win those funds, to model some innovative renewable energy projects that will put seed money in, reduce the cost of energy, reduce the carbon footprint, enable our city to invest in things that count, the things that happen on the ground for our residents. So we're really thrilled about this, and we're excited to participate.
So there's an idea from Mayor Seti Warren from Newton. Dana Conroy, I'm interested to hear. I understand you've got some examples of some ideas that folks have already proposed for the city of Boston.
Yeah, before I say those, I'd like to give some examples of some already innovative things that are happening here.
Sure,
in Boston.
Go right ahead.
Mayor Menino's been sparking innovation for a long time, and we've got Citizens Connect. It's a mobile phone app where citizens can submit problems that they see in their neighborhoods, and it goes right to the city. We've got great green building standards with the LEED certifications, and then also all the changes that have been going on with Hubway and bikes in our community. So things like that are things that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And a few examples we've gotten from folks in the community so far, widespread use of solar panels for residents. Someone suggested a netbook sharing program, so similar to Hubway, but rather than bikes, use netbooks, increase access to technology and the internet. And it's also an opportunity to be really fun. And so someone submitted an idea to put a zip line in downtown Boston.
A zip line in downtown Boston.
It's probably not going to happen, but
why not? I love it.
the thought here, too, is just to have fun. I mean, Boston's a fun city. We're active, we're smart, we're young. It's a great chance to think big and dream big, and Bloomberg's Philanthropies has given us that opportunity.
Mayor Warren, maybe we could do a zip line to connect downtown Boston with downtown Newton. What do you think?
We I love connecting with Mayor Menino. Absolutely.
Listen, I want to get a couple of listeners in on this conversation. We've got a lot of folks standing by. Listeners, we're talking about this mayoral challenge grant from Bloomberg Philanthropies. What would you do if you had $5 million to spend as a way to improve urban life in Boston or whatever city you're calling from? You can give us a call at 800. You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And let's go to Metin, who's calling from Brookline. Hi, Metin.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
So my idea is not to spark change, but to improve an already existing system, specifically the MBTA. I think it's, you know, public transportation you see in European cities is a really efficient, energy-efficient, ecological way to open up new areas for exploration that otherwise might not have been, and I think it's a real boost for businesses. I understand, you know, I don't have a specific change that I'd like to see implemented, but I think as a start, I think the MBTA might be one of the most concrete things that most people would agree needs improving in some way.
All right, Metin, thanks for putting that on the table. Dana Conroy, I got to say, anytime we do a program that is remotely related to this theme, that is how to make life better in Boston, many people always call in with concerns about public transportation, the MBTA. I'm wondering if you're hearing anything in the proposals that are coming across the transom from folks, and if so, what are you hearing?
We have so far. I mean, some folks have written in about the MBTA and changes they'd like to see or improvements they'd like to see happen. It's a tough one because that's a state-regulated authority, and not everyone has a transportation system in their community across the United States. So in terms of replicability, that one's a little bit trickier, but we're open to all ideas, and we're always working with the MBTA to make sure we can make great public transportation for all the citizens.
Seti Warren, I know you're out there in Newton, but I'm just wondering if you have a response to Metin when it comes to improving public transportation, whether this might be a part of a program like, I mean, of a sort of challenge grant system like this.
I think it's a terrific idea. Look, it's public transportation, I think he's right, the caller is absolutely correct, and it's critical to the future of communities. It's critical to economic development. It's critical to getting vehicles off the road. If there is a way to extend public transportation or enhance it with the funding, I think it's a winner. You know, we just went through a tough round of cuts on the T side. I know the T is working really hard to address serious infrastructure needs, but I think it's needed. I think it certainly is a good thought.
Barry Bluestone, I'd like to ask you just about the scale of these grants. There's going to be one $5 million grant, four other $1 million grants. Mm-hmm. When it comes to big ideas in cities, that doesn't sound like a huge amount of money. Do you think there's a risk that these are ideas that might be launched but then dropped as soon as the money's gone?
Well, again, the idea that the mayor has is to launch ideas, not to sustain them. And
right.
That's why I said the real question will be is how do we move this to scale? How do you find the funds after you get a good idea to make sure you can implement it and keep it going? Because there's so many ideas already. I made a list, and already Mayor Warren and Dana have mentioned several of them. There would be others on my list. Obviously, Boston has had a serious crime problem this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But communities and neighborhoods and the folks in those neighborhoods, I'm sure there must be many ideas of how they could work more closely with the police force in the city to reduce the amount of crime. The question will then be, can we come up with some really great ideas, and then how do we find the money to implement them? The same is true that we are desperate to keep our young families in the city of Boston and keep them in greater Boston. There must be many ideas of what we can do to make our cities even more attractive for young talent to stay here. Once you have the idea, though, I'm sure each one of these is going to cost more than $1 million, more than $5 million. And the question is, where are we going to get those bucks?
Right, where are we going to get those bucks to maintain and develop those ideas? Dana Conroy, you were nodding your head to some of what Barry Bluestone was saying. Do you want to comment on that or talk about another idea or two that have come in?
Certainly. This is an opportunity for something to be transformative for Boston. And Mayor Menino is called the urban mechanic. I'm one of the new urban mechanics in the sense that everyone here in Boston and really anywhere outside in suburbs, we're all urban mechanics. We all have the opportunity to make change changes in our community. And that's why we've opened up the challenge, so that those folks who Barry's mentioning who have great ideas, that they can tell us them.
So, Dana, remind us, tell listeners how they can submit these ideas to you.
Certainly. So if you go to the webpage of the City of Boston homepage, it's cityofboston.gov, that's .gov, and you can submit on there. On the homepage, there's a link to the submission page. And there's a few short questions we ask of folks so that they can give us some details, and then we'll take it from there.
So there it is, listeners. You can go right there to the City of Boston website and offer your ideas there. And Jim Anderson, give us finally just a little bit of a schematic about the schedule here. The deadline is this Monday. Do I have that right?
No, our deadline, all of the cities submit their ideas on by September 14th. So that's
right.
About 4 weeks from today. And over the weeks after, basically within the next month, we'll narrow down the 20 finalist cities. Teams from those cities will all be brought to New York for Ideas Camp, and that's an opportunity for the cities to share information with one another, to test their ideas with one another, to give each other a lot of feedback and also some opportunities to work with some experts to really stretch their ideas and take them, make them even greater. They'll resubmit their ideas based on that feedback in late January, the 20, and then we'll narrow it down to the 5 winning cities, which will be announced next spring.
All right. Well, Jim Anderson, Director of the Government Innovation Portfolio at Bloomberg Philanthropies, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to following these interesting ideas as they come rolling in. Many thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Barry Bluestone, Professor of Sociology and Director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern, thank you. Great to have you on the show.
Love to be with you and with your guests.
Mayor Seti Warren of Newton, Mass., many thanks.
Really appreciate it. It's great being on with you.
And Dana Conroy, urban mechanic in Boston, in the Boston Mayor's Office. Dana, thanks so much for coming in.
Happy to be here.
Listeners, the conversation continues at radioboston.org. You can submit your great ideas about how to make life in Boston better right there. Stay with us. Coming up, Kayla Harrison, America's first ever Olympic gold medalist in judo. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.